Walter Storholt alongside Jeff Hamlin here at Carrboro High School. 14-7, the Jaguars leading Bartlett Yancey after the first half of play. We'll have some scores coming up from across the area here in just a few moments. Apparently there was a streaker at the Wakefield game tonight. Did
you
see reports of that as well? It's not a score, but it's an interesting factoid nonetheless. So too bad you weren't at Wakefield tonight.
It depends on who was doing the streaking, of course.
Let's not get into this territory
here. Okay, all right.
Carrboro band out on the field at the 40-yard line as they'll get ready for their halftime performance. And, Jeff, you know, the Jaguars on a three-game skid going up against another team that's on a three-game skid tonight. I thought both teams played very well in the first half, a hard-hot, real good battle that we've seen so far. Carrboro with just a little bit better maturity maybe with their players, I would say.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Walter. And it was interesting seeing how well Campbell Isom took to being the quarterback of this team, because he was the leading rusher for Carrboro in the first half, and he's the leading rusher in this game. He ran the ball six times for 83 yards and the go-ahead touchdown, which you called just moments ago. And, of course, Isom, since he is the quarterback, wound up as the leading passer as well, 7 of 12 for 39 yards. So it was interesting seeing how well he took the reins of this team in what is normally a pressure-filled situation, the conference opener. You're taking the reins at midfield. It's extremely rare at midseason, I should say. It's extremely rare you would see a player do that, because usually a quarterback has four or five games under their belt before they wind up starting their first game at quarterback. This is a role traditionally that you see for a player in August. Campbell Isom is taking the reins here in the middle of October in the first conference game of the year. And I wouldn't say he thrived, but he certainly excelled in certain cases in this contest here tonight. And to see him run for 83 yards and really direct the team and have a grand total of five different skill players touch the ball tonight under his directorship of the offense was really impressive to me, to see Carrboro as the more consistent offense here tonight. Normally you wouldn't expect that from a team playing someone as a sophomore in their first game at quarterback in the conference opener.
They knew that they weren't going to test him downfield a lot tonight, but the couple of times that he has thrown the ball a little deeper looked pretty good, and he seems to be very capable of delivering the ball into some tight spaces and hitting guys on the run, cutting across the middle of the field. Had a drop ball that could have been a touchdown earlier in the first quarter. But very good from what we're seeing so far from Campbell Isom. On the other side of the ball with Bartlett Yancey, real good running from Deshaun Newman. He's getting some good blocking. Going around the edge, it's been really fun to watch that battle, as Carver has done a good job being in pursuit there. Mostly it's been Bartlett Yancey having to rely on a couple of fakes in the backfield to be able to spring Newman, but once he gets going, he's got a lot of speed, and he's keeping that Carrboro defense on its toes.
Newman with 59 yards rushing on 12 carries, and he has run around the tackles an awful lot so far here tonight. This is not a Bartlett Yancey team that has a lot of beef up the middle. Their starting center goes at 235, and then you have a tackle at 245. Aside from that, a lot of guys that are in that 200-pound range. That's not a lot of muscle that you need when it comes to trying to ward off defenders up the middle. Bartlett Yancey doesn't have a lot of size, but Newman has done a good job tonight on those toss sweeps. And we talked about the big play of the night that came from Keontae Rasheed on the 87-yard touchdown pass from Danielle Totten. Totten, though, has not thrown for an awful lot tonight. He's only 3 of 12 for 119 yards. But, of course, as I mentioned, 87 of those yards came on the big pass to Rasheed. Marquise Mims caught the other two balls, and those came at the very end of the half when Bartlett Yancey was trying to set up a score in the final minute. So Bartlett Yancey hasn't had a consistent passing offense, and that's something that Coach Corey Lee wants from his team as the year goes on, as they venture into conference play. We haven't seen a big special teams play here so far tonight by Carrboro, or really either one of these teams. So if there is one to come here in the second half, that could very well decide this game.
We did see a fake punt taken by Bartlett Yancey, but it didn't amount to anything for them, and that just gave Carrboro the ball back in scoring position. They weren't quite able to capitalize on that opportunity. Ended up giving the ball back to Bartlett Yancey with 30 seconds to play on the clock. One last player, of course, that we need to mention for Bartlett Yancey is Brian Parker. The 5'9" junior was playing a big impact on this offense for the Buccaneers, and he was hit possibly a little bit late. No flag on the play as he was reaching down for a ball that was thrown toward his feet. Got hit after that ball hit the ground and then stayed on the ground face down for a period of time, a good 10, 15 minutes before they were able to get him on a stretcher and did take him from an ambulance away from the field tonight. We have not gotten any updates on his condition, but certainly we are thinking about Brian Parker and his entire team. Probably are a little shaken by what they saw earlier on, but we hope that it's precautionary measures and that he will be okay and that we'll get some word of that kind of news later on this evening. But it's Scarborough who has the 14-7 lead over Bartlett Yancey right now as they capitalize on some good field position to get their second touchdown of the game, and they have the 7-point lead here at halftime. We'll send you to a quick break, but as we do, we'll let you listen to a little bit of the Scarborough Jaguar High School Band.
Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
This is Kit Ballou of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. You know, Kit, a lot of people look at buying or selling a house as a competition where there is a clear winner and a clear loser.
I know what you mean, but in my experience...
And that would be vast.
The best deals are the ones where the sellers feel they didn't get quite enough and the buyers are sure they paid a little too much.
So not like the sleazeball in the tailored suit on Bravo's million-dollar listing, the one who says, you haven't done anything right until someone wants you dead. Jeez, at Franklin Street Realty, our agents simply do not let ego get in the way. In fact, the men were selected for low testosterone levels.
Oh, Sammy, don't sell yourself short. The truth is, you don't have to read The Art of War to be a good negotiator. You need focus, experience, and flexibility, what you get from our agents. Plus, even the talking heads have come around to our position. There has never been a better time to buy a house, period.
Lower asking prices, lower interest rates, a lot to choose from. Find your new house at franklinstreetrealty.com.
Franklin Street Realty. Why would you call anyone else?
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you from Scarborough High School as Scarborough leads 14-7 over the Buccaneers after the first half of play. Jeff, scores from across the area, what have you found?
Well, among the most talked about games in the Big 8 slate that we've talked about here on chapelboro.com, highly anticipated, but it's not much of a game. Southern Durham leads Cardinal Gibbons 38-14. Walter, I can't say we're that surprised over that one. At least I'm not that surprised, because we saw Gibbons a couple of weeks back when they played Cedar Ridge, and while they were impressive in that game, that was a team that also made an awful lot of mistakes throughout the course of the contest, both in terms of fundamentals and in terms of just discipline. They made an awful lot of penalties. They were penalized 12 times. That was 12 accepted penalties in the game, and we figured that if Gibbons wasn't on their P's and Q's, then something like this would happen tonight, and that's a big reason why we're seeing what we're seeing tonight over North Raleigh.
They looked like a good team, but you're right. They didn't look as disciplined as you would expect them to be, and we talked about how that was going to affect them when they started playing better competition. They just didn't seem extremely sharp and almost kind of were just going through the motions against Cedar Ridge, which was surprising to see. Because usually, of course, it's a very imposing team at Cardinal Gibbons, but you just didn't get that aura from them this year. It was more like, we're good, and we're going to beat you, but just didn't quite have that imposing aura.
And, of course, those two teams are part of what I like to call the Big Four from the Big Eight, the other two teams being Northwood and Orange, and we understand that Orange, at last report, is leading their in-county rival, Cedar Ridge, by a score of 34-7. Cedar Ridge really struggling with confidence right now. Last week they gave up 79 points to Northwood in a loss to the Chargers. So Orange looks like it will go to 7-0. Also, it is Riverside leading East Chapel Hill 42-10 with 4:48 remaining in the third quarter. Another score tonight at the half. The last report we had from Northern Durham was Person leading Northern by a score of 7-0 at the half. And that is part of the opening night of games in the Pac-6 Conference. Hillside also with a big lead, 42-0 against Jordan. That is at the half, at last report from the Bull City. And of course, the Hornets, the defending Pac-6 champions. Usually their main challenger just happened to be Southern Durham in that conference, and now those two teams separated because of Southern Durham dropping down to 3A. So those are some of the scores from around the area. Also, Millbrook leads Broughton 20-10, and it is Knightdale leading Harnett Central 27-7. Leesville Road, which earlier this year was the number one team around this area but lost their top skill player due to injury, they lead the Sanderson Spartans in the third quarter by a score of 21-17.
No Tar Heel football this weekend. For those looking ahead to tomorrow, the UNC football team resting up for their big Thursday night tilt against Miami next week. So, Jeff, for fans who are going to be craving some football on a football Saturday tomorrow but don't have the Tar Heels to look toward, what else is going on in the college football landscape?
Well, you've got NC State and Syracuse playing for the first time ever as conference rivals. They'll play tomorrow, and also Duke will step out of the conference to take on Navy. And if you're interested in conference games, East Carolina playing in Conference USA against Tulane. Both those teams will jump to the American Conference at the end of this season. But the Pirates will hopefully have more than 1,000 fans in attendance in the Superdome when they play Tulane, which was, according to witnesses, was the case last year when the Pirates played the Green Wave. But Tulane's actually off to a 3-0 start right now in Conference USA after winning last week with a field goal with no time remaining. So Coach Johnson has done a whole lot trying to get that program resurrected down in Tulane, and we'll see what they can do tomorrow against an East Carolina team that grinded out a win last week over Middle Tennessee and, of course, knocked off North Carolina 2 weeks ago in Chapel Hill.
Should be fun. We'll bring you the second half of action between Carrboro and Bartlett Yancey coming up in just a moment on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall. And PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Mark Vitale's All About Insurance Agency has taken care of families and businesses in Chapel Hill since 1993. All About Insurance carries every line of insurance you and your family would need. Auto, home, renters, commercial insurance for businesses large and small, life insurance and 401k plans, plus health care insurance. In fact, All About Insurance carries the absolute lowest rates for new young drivers. So call AAI today at 919-933-4000 or go online at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
Hello, I'm Jeremy Salemson, Chief Executive Officer of Corporate Investors Mortgage Group, and I'm proud to lead Chapel Hill's only locally owned mortgage bank. Home mortgage interest rates remain at historic lows, so whether you're looking to purchase the home of your dreams or simply looking to refinance your existing mortgage, Corporate Investors and I are here to help you every step of the way. Call us at 929-6116 or visit us on the web at CIMGINC.com. Go Heels!
Fitch Lumber and Hardware has been around for a century because they pay attention to their customers. They've got everything you need for your home projects, large and small, and take time to offer you as much or as little advice and helpful tips as you need. The staff is experienced, knowledgeable, and available when you need assistance. Just one of the reasons they've been voted best hardware store in Orange and Chatham counties for 4 years in a row by the Independent Weekly. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro. So stop by or give them a call at 942-3153.
Are you a weekend warrior? Along with the fun of being active comes the risk of injury. This is Dr. Harry Stafford, Director of the Primary Care Sports Medicine Fellowship here at UNC, as well as a UNC team physician. And for those times when your knee gets injured, your Achilles is hurt, your back goes out, or if you've got a shoulder injury, UNC Family Medicine is a great choice for fast and easy treatments, including cutting-edge platelet-rich plasma injections and much more. I invite you to find out more on our website, uncfamilymedicine.org. UNC Family Medicine, here for all weekend warriors.
That was either an extremely large locust or a hummingbird.
Oh.
Just kind of buzzed right by the window here and then floated out. You don't often see those out at the football field.
Welcome back to National Geographic Radio. We thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Hey, I'm trying to put the listener in the seat, Jeff. Ball on the 40-yard line. Bartlett Yancey down 14-7, and they'll be kicking off to the Jaguars to begin the second half. It is an odd kick that spirals sideways and then sputters over to the 35-yard line. The kickoff man, it was Trapper Coley on the
actually,
play?
I think it was Austin Daly, 58.
Listed as a center.
Yeah.
I saw him warming up kicks earlier in the game, and he kicks it by, like, leaning backward.
Yeah.
Doesn't lean forward over the ball when he swings his leg. He kind of leans backward. It put kind of a crazy sideways spin on it after it landed on the ground, but Carver was able to cover it up on the 35-yard line. And that's where the first possession of the second half will begin for quarterback Campbell Isom. Led his team to two touchdowns in the early going. With six rushes for 83 yards, including that big touchdown he had. Here's the first play. It'll be handoff to Malott. Runs right side. Gets across the 35, over to the 40. Through the 40-yard line, reaching out for the first down. He'll be just shy, but it was a good run on first down to pick up several yards. We'll call it a gain of 8 on the play. It'll be second and 2, needing to get just past the 44-yard line for the first down.
Yeah, Malott's done a good job carrying the ball as well. He's at 54 yards rushing now on 6 carries. Isom, the leading rusher in the game as a quarterback for the Jaguars, 83 yards also on 6 carries.
He'll come out in that Y formation again. Receiver on either side of the field. Here's the snap. The handoff will go up the middle with the carry into the 45-yard line. Flag comes flying in late. It will be a first down if there's no flag on the field.
And that was Tabian Sales who got in there on the carry.
No flag on the play. Sorry, it's someone's tossing a football around in the background. It looked like a flag got thrown in from the back judge at the end of the play.
It's first down. Looks like Carborough's also wearing, some players at least are wearing gold socks, and that doesn't help matters because it's the same color as the flags.
Kind of like the pink flags the NFL was using last
That's
week.
Right.
Nobody could tell what was when they were on the field.
And players wearing pink socks tonight as well.
Here's the snap. This will be a pitch out to the left side, carrying it across the 45-yard line, diving to the 50. Heavy collision there as Edwards was reaching across the midfield line. Gets a pickup of 4 on the play. It'll bring up 2nd and 6.
Yeah, Kendrick almost ran headlong into Marquise Mims, who has made his presence felt tonight on both ends of the field, leading receiver in the game for Bartlett Yancey, and also got in there on the tackle. He's deflected 2 passes tonight. It's going to be 2nd and 6.
Those kinds of plays make you hold your breath a little bit, especially on a night when you've already seen a player go down with a potential neck injury. 2nd and 6. Here's the snap. Handoff will be to Edwards again. He busts over the line, gets a gain of 2, out to the 48.
It's interesting seeing this now from Carrboro's. They want to be a very steady team and not just loan for the big play. Right now, I don't know if they can loan for the big play because we talked about trying to bring up Campbell Isom very slowly as a quarterback. So this is a team that's more adept, even though they go without a huddle to 3 yards and a ground of dust, and a cloud of dust, or ground of dust, if you will.
Ground up dust.
Yeah, ground up dust.
Third and four.
Is that a fertilizer advertisement?
It might be. Here's a handoff. It'll beat him a lot. He sidesteps one tackler, barrels over another, reaching for the first down. He may have just gotten it. It'll be very close depending on the spot of the ball, but it does look like he was able to get it. Malott with two big plays tonight where he's converted on once a fourth down and here a third down to reach across the line to keep the chains moving.
And that is going to be a third down conversion. Carborough now 3 of 8 on third down conversions in the game. That time Justin Pruitt had a chance to make the stop, but Malott just barreled right over him and Pruitt went flat up his back.
So it'll be first and 10 from the 44. Two receivers out to the near side after a man comes in motion. That was Austin Martin. Now it'll be a handoff. It's to Edwards as he splits past the defenders into the secondary, all the way into the end zone for a touchdown. 44-yard run. Edwards got there in no time, followed his blockers, had a great lane, and took it all the way to the house.
They faked the end around that time, and Isom did a superb job of making the defenders believe that Malott was going to wind up with a football when all along it was in Edwards' hands, and Edwards, the junior, scores the touchdown. And Carborough now with a 20-7 lead.
And they'll be looking for the extra point on this play to make it a two-touchdown game with 8:57 to play in the third quarter. Carborough's been at its most dangerous tonight, Jeff, from midfield.
That's true.
With two of their touchdowns coming from that distance. A lot of their fourth down turnovers have been from inside the red zone or close to it. The extra point lands about 5 yards into the end zone, short of the goalpost, so it's no good. The second failed extra point of the night for the Jaguars. Do not have a great kicking game, and it's 20-7. 8:57 on the clock here in the third quarter. We'll step aside and come back with a kickoff. High school football on WCHL and at chapelboro.com.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruisers, good to go.
Carborough will be kicking off to Bartlett Yancey. After the missed extra point, it's 20-7. It'll be Schley Hubert to kick the ball deep.
44-yard touchdown run that time by Edwards, and now the kickoff.
Pops it high into the air, lands at the 25-yard line, scooped up there by Newman. Newman will run it straight ahead, splits out to the left side. He might have lost the football. Ball on the ground. Teams diving after it, and they signal it Carborough ball. The special teams, Jeff, you said there may be a big special teams play that decides the game in this half, and maybe we just saw it as the ball came loose out of Newman's hands after he looked like he was going to have a really good return there, and Carborough comes away with it.
And Tavian Sales wound up with the fumble recovery, and he made the big play to force the big turnover that time.
Looks like we had Austin Martin and a host of other Jags.
And so a big play, and it's going to be Carborough ball at its own 36.
At the Bartlett Yancey 36.
I'm sure you're right, yes.
Here's the handoff, and going nowhere. Good stop by the Bartlett Yancey D, one of the best of the night, as they swarm over top of Sales, who was running the end around and got taken down by three different tacklers on the play. One of those players being Corey Henderson, the outside linebacker, coming around to make the stop. Also plugging the hole was Justin Pruitt, the defensive end. So that's going to be a loss of 4 yards on the play. Knocks it back to the 40-yard line where it'll be second and 14 with 8:20 to go. Here in the third quarter, Carborough leads by 13. Trying to add to that. Trips to the left. Malott comes in motion. Runs in front of his quarterback. Isom will pitch it out. Spinning away from tacklers is Sales. Then he gets hard hit at the 49-yard line. So Sales goes backwards two straight plays. This one was a huge loss. My goodness.
Yeah, he wound up paying for that fumble recovery, I guess.
Sure did.
As this one goes back to the 48-yard line. So they have third down at 22 now.
Third in the zip code, as we used to call this down east.
Yeah.
Not quite. Maybe it's got to be past 25 to be a zip code.
Well, that's true.
I think that was the qualifier we put on it. Here's the snap on the third and long play. Throw across the middle of the field to Malott. He makes the catch, but is hit very hard and drops the ball at the 30-yard line. Little slow back to his feet as he makes sure that all his body parts are still attached, and he is back up, but he's going to head straight to the sideline after taking that pop, as will other members of the team, as a spider drops down in front of me.
Oh, wow.
Wow, that was scary.
Got Insect American here.
Yeah, I'm going
to Tristan McKinney wound up being the man that was coming up on Malott that time, and perhaps Malott heard the footsteps, so it's going to force a punt. That's the first three and out of the game forced by Bartley Yancey after the fumble on the kickoff.
Coming back inside to hang out with you, Jeff. Here's
okay.
The punt. The snap ball will be punted from the 40-yard line. It's a low-line drive that bounces near the near sideline. Bounced at the 27 and then rolls all the way inside to the 14 where it's tagged up by Carborough. No return on the play. And so the Jaguars, although they can't take advantage of that turnover, do force Bartlett Yancey into some tough field position for this next drive.
Yeah, it was a good play that time by Thad Carey, who was the punter that time for the Jaguars. And he was just looking for the Coffin corner, if you will, kicking the ball away from Newman. And he did an adept job that time of preserving field position. So first down for Bartlett Yancey. They're down 20-7 with 7:20 to go in the frame.
And here's the snap. It'll be a handoff to Newman as he split in front of his quarterback and picked up the ball. Spins across the 25-yard line out to the 29. Trying to reach for the first down play, and he did get it. Converts with 7:10 to go, and a 13-point deficit. Bartlett Yancey doesn't have to force the issue here, but they do need to start thinking about playing with a little bit of urgency, as we've got a timeout called by the Carborough Jaguars against 7:05 on the clock. We'll take it with them. You're listening to High School Football on WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall. And PC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Speed claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
Back here at Carborough High School with 7 minutes and 5 seconds to go. The snap on second down gets it close to the first down marker after the handoff took Bartlett Yancey within 2 yards of the first down. Now it's a quarterback keeper. And it is a good run to the left side, sliding down. The quarterback gets to the 46-yard line. Totten with the carry. And he took a little bit of a shot as he slid down there. A lot of good speed, though, as he broke through to the secondary.
Yeah, I'm surprised Totten didn't wind up drawing a flag there because, again, that hit was late well after he slid on the play. But, again, no flag, but it's a first down for Bartlett Yancey as they got 14 yards.
Carborough's gotten away with two of those most likely tonight. One of them led to that serious injury in the first half. Here's the snap, and a clogged hole at the line of scrimmage means the running back is going nowhere. Tyree Bradshaw on the carry. Didn't have any room to maneuver, though, after he got that ball near the line of scrimmage.
I tell you, Totten is still limping out there from that shot a moment ago.
So it may be that two missed calls have led to two injuries tonight, although Totten seems to be playing through it. Here's the snap. He'll pitch it out to the right side this time after faking the inside handoff, working his way across the line of scrimmage for a gain of 2 on the play. With the carry was Mims. He pops back up and heads back to the line of scrimmage.
Now, that's usually a play that we saw earlier on from Brian Parker, but, of course, Parker was injured earlier on and carried off the field on the stretcher. It'll be third down and 8.
Big play here for Bartlett Yancey. They want to keep this drive going. Don't want to have to give it back to the Jaguars. Here's the snap. Three-step drop. Throw across the middle of the field is high but caught. Moving to the inside of the near sideline. It's Mims with the catch. The run to the 10. 5 stays on his feet. Into the end zone. Touchdown. And a flag comes down after he crossed the end zone line And we'll see who this is against. The flag was thrown all the way back at the 24-yard line.
That was way late, and if that was a block in the back, which I think could be the call, I'm not sure if that's the correct one, and it was way, way late.
It would have been a pretty wasteful block in the back as it happened 20 yards behind the play. Instead, it is going to be a block in the back against Bartlett Yancey, and it's going to knock him back here and cancel out a beautiful play.
That is, I think I saw the block, and frankly, I didn't think that was behind the back. Now, I don't think Bartlett Yancey would have scored without it, but boy, that was an expensive penalty. As it's going to be a markup at the 34 of Carborough, as this is a huge play here in this game. All the way back to the 34, so those are some expensive yards there.
So it'll be first down, but as you mentioned, Jeff Ball on the 35, so it's changed the whole dynamic of this drive. But at least they have fresh downs. Here's the handoff. It'll go to Newman. He runs off the left guard, now splits out to the left side, gets hit right around the first down marker. He'll be just shy of it. Good hit on the play by Carborough's Sam Loeb, as well as Roman Malott, both of them in on the tackle.
Yeah, Newman is beginning to feel the effects of all the carries that he's had in this game. He goes out of the contest now.
Back in to stand next to Totten is Bradshaw. Bradshaw, no, it's still Newman. He stays in the game, gets the handoff, gets across the first down marker inside the 20-yard line. It'll be first down.
I stand corrected there. Newman staying in, and he's going to eclipse 100 yards with that catch, as he winds up getting 9 on that one, and that's going to be a first down for the Buccaneers. This is a big drive for them here.
It's just how elusive he was. He can go off the field and come back home without you even seeing it. First and 10. Threatening to get further into the red zone. Here's the pitch to Mims. Cuts back to the left after he was met with pressure. All sorts of Carborough Jaguars in the area, but Malott, who's been all over the field on offense and defense, Jeff, another key man to make the stop.
It was Malott and James Scott who double-teamed him that time, and Mims wound up getting thrown for a one-yard loss.
So it'll be second and 11. Ball knocked back to the 20-yard line now. Shotgun once again. Bradshaw, the running back, he goes to the left, but it looking right with the throw is Totten. It's too high off the fingertips of Keontae Rasheed, who had the big 87-yard touchdown run earlier in the game. And even Rasheed took a little pop there after the ball had already hit his hands and gone toward the end zone.
Yep. Officials have let some stuff go here tonight. 20-7, Carborough with the lead here is a big third down play for Bartlett Yancey.
That play wasn't a hard pop, but just a little one. Here's the pass on third down. It'll be a dump off to the running back, Bradshaw. Don't even think he got back to the original line of scrimmage as he was stopped just short of the 20-yard line. So it's going to bring up fourth down and still 11 yards to gain for the first down. And they're going to keep the offense out on the field.
Now, Mims has been the man that they have gone to here in big play situations. Dylan Myers also coming in along with Deshaun Newman.
Shotgun. Here's the snap. It'll be a handoff to Newman, and he is met right at the line of scrimmage, going nowhere, driven backwards. Turnover on downs. The Carborough defense, after giving up a lot of yardage, ends up getting the stop on fourth down, and now that penalty becomes extremely costly because Bartlett Yancey will walk away from this possession with no points.
Yeah, and they got to walk away wondering what might have been if that call isn't made, because it looked like a pretty good block, but from the official's vantage point, I can see where he thought it would have been a block in the back. That is a big, big call in this game now as Carborough's defense comes up with a big stop.
Would have been a one-possession game, but now it's still two, and Carborough wants to drive down the field to make it three. 3:17 to play in the third quarter. It'll be a handoff coming to the near side, spinning out of a tackler. It's Edwards. He breaks another tackle. He's got a lane all the way down the sideline. A man's got an angle on him. He uses the stiff arm to carry across the sideline, and then we get some extra hitting at the end of the play, some jarring between Edwards and two of the players from Bartlett Yancey, and that may tack on 15 more yards, Jeff.
Saquon Garland wound up with some hand play that time, if you will, as Edwards wound up getting pushing into a pushing match with him on the sidelines, and we have an official, looks like they're discussing something, and it is a flag here. called against Carbrell on sportsmanlike conduct. So the gain was good to the Bartlett-Yancey 40, but the penalty will put the ball back on the Carbrell end of the field.
I think they're going to hit Edwards for continuing that stiff arm after they had gotten out of bounds. He continued to use the stiff arm to push back against the Bartlett-Yancey player and sort of continue to initiate that contact. Bartlett-Yancey came in at the end with a little bit of... I like how they put spin on things here, though.
Yes.
An ineffective stiff arm,
yes.
Otherwise known as a personal foul.
Yes.
Unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. So it marks them up at the 41-yard line. First and 10, needing to get to the 49 of Bartlett-Yancey for a first down. Here's the snap. It'll be a handoff coming up the middle. I believe it's Sales on the run as he gets across the 45. Decent pickup on first down.
And it is Sales. And Sales, as a freshman, we have seen Jason Tudorin not be shy at all about calling up underclassmen and putting them right on the field. And let's face it, when you were trying to build a program here like Tudorin had to do, you had to put freshmen and sophomores out on the field to play varsity when usually they'd be playing at the JV level. And Jason Tudorin had to do that early on. And when he feels like a player is ready, he won't hesitate to make that call up.
Y formation, handoff will go again to Sales. He has to stutter step at the line of scrimmage and didn't have a lot of room to operate and just falls forward for maybe a gain of half a yard to move the down marker up another yard. So it'll bring up third and four, needing to get to the 48-yard line for a first down.
Stacy Blackman comes in to make the stop that time, the 5'6", 260-pound defensive lineman. So it's third and four here. Carver up 20-7 on Bartlett-Yancey in the conference opener for both teams.
You mentioned Sales, you know, getting this playing time as a freshman. It's just like we were reminiscing earlier in the game about Trey Sharp.
That's right.
We saw him in similar situations like this where all of a sudden he'd come in and start getting more and more carries, and he said, well, this freshman's pretty good. Not saying that he's necessarily going to be at that level, Sales, but he certainly has been good tonight. Here's the handoff, and it goes to Edwards. Very quickly, he's able to get into the secondary, running along the left sideline, across the 45, and then the 40, down to the 35-yard line. There's a player slow to get back onto his feet for Bartlett-Yancey. We don't have a number on our roster for that player, but he is okay and going to stay into the game. Another first down for Carbrew.
Yeah, and that was some run that time. Once again, Edwards making his presence felt, and he now has over 100 yards in the game as a junior. 13 carries, 136 yards, and two touchdowns on the night for Kendrick.
So ball right there on the 35-yard line. First and 10 for the Jaguars. Approaching 1 minute to play in the third quarter. Man in motion to the near side. It'll be a handoff up the middle to Edwards. He jumps over one tackler, gets across the line of scrimmage for a gain of two. It'll bring up second and 8 with 53 seconds to play in the third.
And it'll be interesting to see here. That was Edwards, right?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to make sure. I always have to. I'm getting old now, so I have to double check on these things.
At the ripe old age of
40.
Was it 28? Is that?
I wish it was 28, yeah, but you know that's changed. You know, good and well that changed. Two weeks ago it changed.
Big fun 40th birthday party for Jeff.
That's right.
Here's the handoff to Edwards as he comes to the left after he came on an end around. Gets the handoff and goes across the 30-yard line down to the 28. A little closer to the first down marker. Going to make it a more manageable third down here. That was likely the last play of the quarter, as there are now only 10 seconds remaining, and Carborough in no hurry to snap the ball. So that's the end of the third quarter. A 13-point lead for the Jaguars. Up 20-7 on Bartlett-Yancey. Fourth quarter action coming your way here on High School Football on WCHL and ChapelBorough.com. High School Football is brought to you by Mark Vitale Nationwide Insurance in Chapel Hill, and in Hillsboro, AAI Nationwide Insurance.
You may already know that AT&T is the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And now, independent third-party research has confirmed that AT&T is also the most reliable 4G LTE network. What does that mean for you? Whether you're connecting with family and friends, getting the job done at work, or simply looking for entertainment, you want a wireless network you can count on. That's why AT&T built the nation's fastest 4G LTE network. And we're not the only ones saying it. PC Magazine recently ranked AT&T's LTE network as the fastest overall,
NPC World stated that AT&T's LTE service is the fastest 2 years running. Not surprisingly, that same lightning-fast network is now the most reliable as well. AT&T, the nation's fastest and now most reliable 4G LTE network. Rethink possible. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Smooth claim compares national carriers' average 4G LTE download speeds. Reliability claim compares data transfer completion rates on nationwide 4G LTE networks. 4G LTE not available everywhere.
We have a winner.
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hamlin with you here from Carrboro High School, where it is third down for Bartlett Yancey, needing to get to the 35 for a first down. So it's third and six. Big play here for the Jaguars. And a throw across the middle of the field. No Jaguars there, and it's intercepted on the play by Bartlett Yancey's number 23, Tevin Stewart.
I was
trying to figure that one out.
Yes, so am I. You and I looked at each other, Walter, wondering what was going on with that pass. I'm not sure if that was an arm punt because there wasn't with anyone for Carrboro within a mile of that ball. It was the easiest interception that Tevin Stewart will ever have, as he was the only man even remotely close to the ball. So
I'm going to guess it was drastic miscommunication on the part of the receiver, a timed route, and he was supposed to be there and wasn't. Here's the first play for Bartlett Yancey, as they'll throw it out on a screen pass, and it works very nicely out for 14 yards, bringing it all the way back to the 30-yard line, as they'll now look to head down the field from right to left along your radio dial here in the fourth quarter. 20-7 your score, 13-point lead for the Jaguars.
Yeah, big play right here, big series coming up as they advance it due the Buccaneers to the 31-yard line.
Here's the snap. The handoff will come to the near side. It's Newman on the run. Works his way back to the middle of the field, across for 3 yards, make it four, maybe even stretch it out to five as he leaned forward for a decent pickup. Moves the ball to the 35-yard line, and it'll bring up second and five. Good pickup on first down.
That was Rashid a moment ago who had that catch, Walter, and of course he had the biggest play in this game, the big 86-yarder that wound up scoring what is thus far the only touchdown of the night for the Buccaneers.
So to bring up second down. Two receivers on either side. Ball in the middle of the field. It'll be the option. They'll pitch it out to Newman, and he's got a lane down the right sideline. Jumps over one defender, spins across the 45, down at the 49. Might as well put him at the 50. Very nice run by Newman once again. Jeff, he's really been piling up the yardage throughout the game very consistently.
Yeah, no question about that. And Newman winds up with another 18 there. So for him, he's now at 92 yards rushing. He's nearly got 100.
Maybe some more coming here as Newman gets it and takes it from the 49-yard line up to the 45 into Carrboro territory now, even across the 45 to the 44.
And it's interesting, we've seen Bartlett Yancey make solid drives like this throughout the game tonight, but they just haven't finished them. Here they are with the second and three here, and this is a must score here if they're going to stay in this game.
There's the snap. Two-step drop, throw across the middle of the field, out of the hands of the intended receiver on the play, Greg Budd, trying to haul that one in. He would have had some room to operate there had he been able to get the catch. Maybe started thinking about that run before he brought it in.
Totten just doesn't have the accuracy. He's a very young quarterback, just a sophomore. He's only 6 of 17 throwing tonight, but he does have 155 yards.
So it's third down. Sorry about that. As it'll be a handoff to Newman, runs right side, gets the first down and more, working his way down the sideline, still on his feet as he's finally taken out inside the 30-yard line, another big run.
Boy, Newman just would not step out of bounds and submit there, and that puts him at over 100 tonight for the game. And he winds up rumbling that time all the way to the 28-yard line of Carrboro. So another big run. This is a big drive here for Bartlett Yancey, a big attempt to get back in this game now as they're down 13.
First down, man in motion to the near sideline. It'll be a handoff, and there is nowhere to run and piled down to the ground. Malott got the final word on that hit as he drove the ball carrier into the ground. With the carry, it was Bradshaw, the sophomore at 5 feet 5 inches tall. It was up losing 5 yards on the play.
It was Sir Tart who managed to get in there and get a hold of Bradshaw first, though.
So it'll be second and 15. 9:38 to play in the fourth quarter. One-step drop. Now stuttering forward. The throw across the middle of the field, and that's pass interference on Carrboro. I believe it was 22 who got whistled here, Sam Blobe.
Let's see what we have here, because We have one flag down for pass interference. Trying to see if we had another flag thrown at the start of the play. Don't think we did, though. It is pass interference called here.
Yep. No second penalty, so that's going to greatly benefit Bartlett Yancey with 9.5 minutes to play. Clock is also stopped. And a 13-point lead for the Jaguars.
We're at 9.5 minutes remaining. And the markup of this penalty is going to take it half the distance to the goal line to the 16. So it's going to be first down for Bartlett Yancey.
They'll even put it in front of the 15-yard line down to the 14, Jeff.
Okay.
So it'll bring up first and 10. As Totten doing a nice job to craft a little drive here, getting some help with a penalty. He'll keep it himself, run the option, flips it out to the left side, trying to turn the corner on the play is Greg Budd. Not able to get there, and good coverage as Sales was able to get there to make the tackle, despite being smaller in size, wrapped up the tackle and brought him down, keeping him outside of the goal zone area, puts the ball on about the 11-yard line. Second down. Newman in the backfield alongside the keeper, Totten. Totten will hold it on himself as he rolls to the right side. Comes across the line of scrimmage. I believe he was across the line of scrimmage when he threw that ball. It is caught for a beautiful touchdown, but the referee was able to spot the fact that he was across the line of scrimmage.
Now, we've seen this once tonight where they actually marked this ineligible man downfield, but now the right marking is made, and this is going to be the illegal forward pass call here against Bartlett Yancey. And there's no denying that one because it was clear Totten wound up 3 yards past line of scrimmage once he set that ball free in the end zone.
Got away with it earlier in the game. Actually, they ended up throwing the flag on him, I forget, at the end of the play there at the half. It came very late, though, so you thought that maybe
that's
he was
right.
going to get away with it. But that's too bad, though, because that was a great catch in the end zone. But gets canceled out. So it'll bring up third and 11. Big play here. Great drive, and now it's starting to stall out, just like several others have tonight. That'll be a pitch to the right to Newman, and he runs into a couple of blockers back at the original line of scrimmage at around the 15-yard line. Did not have a lot of room to run there. A couple of big hard hits came his way, and it's going to bring up fourth down. And yet again, Bartlett Yancey just gets to the red zone and can't keep the drive going. How big is that penalty that canceled out the touchdown earlier? This could be the go-ahead drive that Bartlett Yancey's on right now. Instead, they're just trying to cut it to a one-score game. Crowd on its feet, 8:15 to play. Here's the snap. It'll be the option. They pitch it to Newman. He has nowhere to hide, and he is taken down in the backfield, still on his feet as the whistles finally come, and the Jaguars let him go and fall to the ground. Turnover on down, no flags on the field. It'll be Carborough ball.
And that's two consecutive drives now where Bartlett Yancey has had a touchdown called back because of penalty. The first one was debatable, but the second one this time around was not. And it's going to be Carborough football, first down and 10. Some big fourth down stands here by the Jaguars to keep the score on its end, or rather to keep the lead.
20-7 the score with 8:04 to play. Any scores from across the area, Jeff?
We've got Middle Creek leading Panther Creek 20-7. Wakefield leads Wake Forest 32-26. Now, Wake Forest has been ranked as perhaps the best team in the Triangle area, but right now they are trailing by 6 to the Wolverines. Also, Fuquay leads West Arnett 14-6, and we're looking for some scores from around the area here, a little closer to home. Let's see if we can find them. We mentioned that other game. Let's see. We've got Wake Forest trailing Wakefield now. And also Garner leads Clayton 28-21. And apparently we were misled. We've had conflicting tweets about the Southern Durham-Gibbons game, but we do know that Southern Durham is in the lead. We just don't know by how much. One tweet had them up by 24. This current one has them up only by 6, 28-22 against Cardinal Gibbons in the third quarter.
Well, 8:04 to go here, and we can tell you the score definitively is 20-7.
I think, like having conflicting tweets. They're opening up next week for Kings of Leon.
Must have. Is that really a band name?
Yes.
Oh, here's a fumble on first down. Ball on the ground, and Bartlett Yancey's got it. It got knocked out of the hands of the ball carrier coming up the middle of the field. Was it three, Jeff? Was it Austin Martin who got one of his first carries of the night and gets it knocked out of his arms?
And Tony Jordan was the man who wound up on the recovery. And so a huge play here as Jordan recovers the fumble and Bartlett Yancey's right back in business. In the red zone, no less.
First and 10. Well, they started almost every drive off tonight very nicely. Now that they're starting off inside the red zone, maybe that will spell trouble for the Carrboro Jaguar D. Quarterback keeper up the middle. Totten slides and gets hit at the end of the play once again.
Wow.
He's so quick, though, that when he goes down for that slide, defenders are already in motion going in to try and keep him from getting any more yardage. It's not like it's a wide open field and then he's sliding. He's sliding in traffic, and I guess that's the tough part of it.
Gained 8, though.
Nice pickup. Gets into the 11-yard line. Second down. Down by 13. They'll hand it off to Newman. He spins off of one tackler, but he is wrangled down at the line of scrimmage. A couple of Carrboro tacklers in there on the stop. Globe on the stop. One of the men that was in there. Also, Sir Kuthart, who's been a big impact player on this defense tonight, was there as well.
Big third and two coming up.
Got to convert this if you're Bartlett Yancey. Can't afford to fail once again in the red zone. Long count. The snap, hand off to Newman. Runs around the right side, angling toward the first down marker. He's got it and gets tackled near the sideline. Inbound, so they keep the clock moving with 6:42 to play. But because of the first down, it will then stop.
And he got the 3 yards that he needed, so a big third down conversion. Bartlett Yancey on the night now, 6 of 14 on third down conversions. Walter, this game has been decided ultimately by the big play. Carrboro has had two big runs. Bartlett Yancey doesn't have the size right now to churn it in from short distances. They need to score here.
First and goal from the 5. Hand off to Newman. He is wrapped up in the backfield momentarily and then got loose. Makes his way closer to the goal line. And did not get in. He's down on the 1 yard line. Trying to wrap him up in the backfield was Gerald Atwater, a 6'2", 235-pound defensive lineman, but let him go. Only had him by the jersey. Newman was able to rip out of it.
Looks like that Bradshaw is going out of the game, and I believe Newman's going back in.
So I guess Bradshaw was on the carry there, not Newman. He is shifty at getting in and out of the field.
Yeah.
This time he is in there. Gets the snap, and it's going to be a handoff to Mims. He dives over the pile and into the end zone. Touchdown, Bartlett Yancey. And we've got a game with 5 minutes and 45 seconds to play. The big turnover on the fumble on the first play from scrimmage for Carrboro in their own red zone. And it's a 7-point game and big extra point coming up here.
And it's a big man who will attempt it as it's going to be perhaps the biggest kicker I've seen.
Hunter Gussler.
Yep.
6'1", 245 pounds.
Now, he put one right through earlier on tonight.
Here's the snap. Spot kick is up, and it is through the uprights. No flags on the field, and it's a 6-point game. 20-14 with 5:45 to go. Will Carrboro try to run out the clock, or will they look to march down the field to add some more points? We'll find out when we come back. High school football, WCHL and Chapelboro.com.
If you're looking for the kind of primary care you deserve, join the all-new Duke Integrative Primary Care Practice. For a modest annual fee, you will have expert physicians who give you all the time you need to discuss all the health concerns you have, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. To learn more or attend a free information session, visit DukeIntegrativeMedicine.org. Duke Integrative Primary Care, transforming your health and your life. Only minutes from Chapel Hill, open to all and now accepting insurance.
Carrboro with only 2 timeouts, but 3 timeouts still for Bartlett Yancey. I saw BY and thought Brigham Young for a second. So here's the kick. It is end over end, and it is fielded at the 19-yard line. Here comes Carborough on the return, up the middle of the field, dancing past one tackler and then sidestepping another on the carry is Darius Glover. A decent return from the 19 all the way out to the 36-yard line, and that's where Carborough will start this possession with 5 minutes, 37 seconds to play. Jeff, if you're Jason Tudrin, what kinds of plays are you calling here down the stretch?
You're sticking with what has worked for you all night long. You don't have to alter very much here because what we've seen from Campbell Isom in his first varsity start is a willingness to run the zone read extremely well. Now, Carborough had some disorganization trying to get this play lined up, and they have to call a timeout, so Carborough's down to one timeout remaining. And that's going to mean that this drive is very, very precious to them because if Bartlett Yancey does score, Carborough's not going to have very much time on the rebuttal if it comes to that. If Bartlett Yancey manages to come up with a drive that could bring them the lead in this game. So really here, this game could be in the hands of the Carborough offense. Although they do have a six-point lead, they want to make sure that they run off enough time because Bartlett Yancey has had only one big play throughout the course of this game, Walter. Aside from that, they haven't shown the ability to make the big explosion play. And as long as Carborough's secondary keeps its wits about them, they should be able to win this game. But it's going to come down to how well they can run the ball here for the Jaguars.
Bucks were down 7 at the end of the first half and were able to move it from their own 20-yard line into Carborough territory in less than 30 seconds where they try two plays at the end of the half. Here's the handoff to Edwards. He runs to the left and then has to cut back inside. Uses a stiff arm to just fight his way back to the line of scrimmage. Maybe picks up a yard on the play, but most importantly, keeps it in between the hash marks, and that means the clock will continue to wind down to 5:20 and counting.
And Bartlett Yancey saving its timeouts. They're not quite at the point here where they have to burn them. 20-14 game. Both of these teams have had their opportunities, and they've had a combined 4 drives in because of failed fourth down attempts.
Second down, only a gain of maybe a half a yard, maybe not even that, so we'll still call it 2nd and 10 here. Man comes in motion. Here's the snap. It'll be a handoff to Edwards once again. He's got 5 yards. Make it 10 as he comes across the line of scrimmage for a first down, and that'll help wind some more time off the clock. It stops momentarily at 4:45 while they move the change, but then it will resume.
Yep, they're going to go ahead and call this a first down. And Bartlett Yancey was anticipating run all the way there, Walter. They had 8 guys in the box, but it was just a superb job by the Carborough offensive line to manage to muscle those Buccaneers out of the way. SVN Dunn managed to come in there, the big 6'4", 310-pound senior. This is where the meat can win you ball games, right here.
Ball at the 46-yard line, still in Carborough territory, but approaching the midfield line. An exceptional night of quarterback tonight by Isom. He gets the handoff, and another good pickup on first down. Keeps the clock moving. Carry on the play by Sales. The freshman getting some more action, some crucial minutes here at the end of the game. And now a timeout is called by Bartlett Yancey. So they decide to probably go ahead and say this is the set of chains that we want to go ahead and start stopping the clock, which is unfortunate because it was a good pickup by Carborough on first down.
Got 5 yards out of it.
And only need to get 5 more to get the first down. And they'll have 2 plays to get it before likely they would punt it. Or, I don't know, based on what we've seen by Tudrin tonight, I think he's probably saying we've got 3 plays to get 5-6 yards here.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Walter, because he is a gambler at heart when you get right down to it. And I think at the end of the day, he believes that his size is enough to win this game. And he's going to gamble. If he's going to lose gambling tonight, he's going to lose while relying on his team's strength. And this is a team that is in the weight room year-round to win games just like this one. The conference opener trying to end a 3-game losing streak against an opponent that they're really not all that familiar with. It's a big, big couple of plays here.
If it's 4th and 5, if they don't get anything on these next 2 plays, then maybe they go for the punt.
Right.
But if they get closer to that first down marker, they may just go for it. We'll find out. We've got 2 more plays before we get to that point, potentially. Man in motion to the near side, ball in the middle of the field. It'll be a quarterback keeper up the middle, getting close to the 45-yard line. Gets it to the 44 as Isom gets a good pickup on 2nd down to bring up 3rd and 2. needs to get to the 44 for a first down.
That's really the best job BY has done tonight of bottling up that quarterback keeper as they held Isom to a gain of three. And Isom now is coming close to becoming the second Jaguar to top 100 yards rushing in the game.
3.5 minutes to play. Big third down here. Still in the shotgun. Here's the snap. It'll be a handoff to Edwards. He's up the middle. First down and more. Across the 40 to the 35. And even a little bit past that, down at the 36, maybe the 34-yard line, with 3:23 to go, and that just may do it for the Jaguars.
And that was a fine job that time by Ted Bilden, and it's Van Dunn to come in and pave the way that time for Edwards to pick up that big 12-yard gain and a first down.
Well, the good news is that Bartlett Yancey ended up not calling more timeouts on that set of chains, so they still have two remaining with 3 minutes to go. So it's not quite over yet, but certainly it's going to be a lot more difficult from here on out. Edwards takes it left side. He splits out wide over to the sideline. Did he get dragged out of bounds? No. But he gets the first down, which will move the chains. Stops the clock momentarily, but it'll resume winding down once they get the chains set with 2:49 to play now.
You want to talk about putting some meat on the left side of the field. How about Dunn at 310 pounds, teaming up with Ted Bilden at 225, and then they pulled the tackle, Rakeem Satterwhite, who goes at 335. So you had a couple of 300-pounders running that left side, and you wonder why Edwards managed to gain 15 yards. He had a convoy ahead of him.
2:49 to play. Buccaneers will go ahead and call the timeout. Partially to stop the clock, but with a couple of players on their knees on the far sideline, I think it's partially to just catch their breath here as Jaguars have been able to move the chains very effectively on what is likely their final drive of the game, trying to put it away.
Well, look at these totals, Walter. 363 yards rushing in the game for Carborough, just 39 yards passing. In years past, we've seen just the opposite.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, but it's been a big running attack. But even with that being the case, you still like what you've seen out of the way that Campbell Isom's been able to control the game. And when he has had to throw the ball, he's been good.
Yeah, usually when you think of these run-oriented offenses, you don't think of someone that can drive the ball so well down the field. Carborough's done that so well tonight. They've only punted once or twice.
Kind of like a Vad Lee at Georgia Tech,
right.
I guess. Very similar to that. Here's the handoff. It's to Edwards. He gets across the 15-yard line inside the 10. It's another first down for the Jaguars.
Big run up the middle.
And Bartlett Yancey's just slow to get back to its huddle. I think they've just run out of gas here at the end. The Jaguars rotating and subbing in fresh legs to help get that extra push on the offensive line. And it's paying dividends here on the final drive of the game for Carborough. Under 2.5 to play now. Ball is right around the 6-yard line. First and goal. I believe that's Sales dotting the Y. Long count. Here's the snap. It'll be a handoff to Sales. He jumps past one defender and then gets taken down. Most important thing here for the Jaguars, don't turn the ball over.
Absolutely, that's the case. And looks like Sales wound up with a yard on the play.
They've got fourth down showing on the marker across the field, but it's only second down.
They've had a rough night over there on the clock running with a minute 48. Bartlett Yancey has one more timeout.
Haven't decided to use it yet.
This has been the type of grinding drive, though, that Carborough has won this game with if they do come out. This will be the ninth play of the drive, and it's already gone for 60 yards.
Here is the pitch to the right side. Edwards uses the stiff arm but gets dragged down in the backfield. Just go down, young man. Don't try and turn the ball over here. And now Bartlett Yancey will use its final timeout as the ball carrier Edwards got dragged down at the 13-yard line. So it's going to be with a minute and 27 seconds to play, Jeff. Down by six, Bartlett Yancey trying to pull off the stop here. It'll be third down. And here's what's going to be really interesting. If the Jaguars don't score on this play, we've seen how bad their kicking game has been, but a field goal gives you the win.
That's right.
But do you put any sort of trust in your kicking game after how really poor two of the three extra points have been tonight?
Well, you have to remember that if the field goal is no good, then Bartlett Yancey will get the ball back at its own 20-yard line, whereas right now, if you don't gain another inch, the ball is at the 13. So you're thinking about field position in a situation like this, and you have to remember that Yancey has had only one play above 25 yards tonight. So I'm thinking go for it.
Well, they got to get through third down first. Isom, the quarterback, is there. And Carbro, with a player coming onto the field late, Malott finally gets out there. Here's the snap from the 13-yard line. It'll be on the ground. Edwards gets it, runs up the middle of the field, and he stops shy of the 5-yard line. Out of timeouts for Bartlett Yancey, so the clock will continue to wind here. A minute, 16 seconds to go. Carbro is sending out the field goal unit.
Wow.
So Simon Schley-Hubert will have the opportunity to put the Jaguars ahead for good if he can nail the field goal. It would make the score 23-14 and put it out of reach. The ball will be just to the left of the right hash mark, and now we've got a flag on the field before the players even got set. Does Carbro have too many men?
Oh,
illegal substitution,
boy. Wow.
Against Carbro.
Boy, that's a big penalty there.
And that's going to make the field goal much more difficult.
It's going to be a 28-yarder. That's 5 yards, could be expensive.
Ball is now on the 11. And they are setting up at the 18, so 28 yards. Remember, the extra points tonight have been very iffy. Schley-Hubert had one blocked as well. Here's the snap. Spot. Kick is down. It's blocked by Bartlett Yancey. Picked up at the 10-yard line, and that's where they will take possession after the man who recovered the ball was tackled with 46.5 seconds to go. No timeouts, and needing to go 90 yards. Bartlett Yancey will have 46.5 seconds to do it.
It was Malcolm Gwynn who got in there and made the block. And so, just like that, the Buccaneers are in business here. Ball at the 11-yard line.
Fans thought Carbro had this one wrapped up potentially, but now four wide receivers, three to the near side. Bartlett Yancey moving from right to left. Here's the snap. Throw out to the left on the screen. Pass is complete. Running down the left sideline. Man needs to get out of bounds, and he does, as he gets the first down. On the catch and run was Malik Bays, his first catch of the night. And he had some pretty good speed. Bays was blazing down the sideline across the 25 to the 27-yard line as the Carbro band starts playing as it walks down the track here on the near side of the field.
Nice time to walk out with the game on the line.
Here's the snap, looking to throw downfield. Pass is a long one to the 40-yard line, and it's caught at the 42. Down to the 35. A beautiful grab, and Bartlett Yancey is in business with 28.4 seconds to go. The catch was made by Keontae Rashid, who had the 87-yarder for the touchdown. He skies into the air to grab that one. What a connection with 28.4 seconds to go. They'll set up on the 35. 25 seconds now. Trips to the left. Here's the snap. Looking downfield. Stepping up into the pocket. Now scrambling right. Danielle throws through the secondary of the 20-yard line, but it's knocked away by the defenders, and it'll stop the clock with 14.9 seconds to go.
It looked like that time the pass was intended for Mims, who has been the other big play threat, along with Keontae Rashid, but it was incomplete, so it's second and 10 now.
No timeouts remaining for Bartlett Yancey. 14.9 seconds to go, but they've got the downfield threat to be able to pull off a pretty incredible comeback. Totten, with three receivers to his left once again, gets the snap. It's low. Picks it up. Steps up into the pocket. Scrambles to his right. Points downfield. He's running it and steps out of bounds with 6.8 seconds to go. A long play. A lot of time went off the clock there.
That was a good play, though, by Totten to get something out of that and know when to get out of bounds. An experienced play by the sophomore. Now it's third and five, and this is probably going to be the game. And Walter Five will get you 10. This pass is going to be intended for Keontae Rashid.
That's a great guess, Jeff. We'll see what they decide to do. 6.8 seconds to go. Third down. Ball at the 30-yard line. The pass. Scrambling to his right. throws downfield into the end zone. It is almost caught at the goal line. In and out of the hands of Keontae Rasheed. Incomplete. Bartlett Yancey comes just a fingertip away from an incredible play to end the game. The Bartlett Yancey players are all kneeling down, laying down in the end zone in disbelief as they almost pulled off an incredible final drive. And it's a heartbreak for a team that was probably trying to win this second half for their fallen player, Brian Parker, who was taken out on the stretcher in the first half. They played valiantly in the second, battling back, and they fall just short. And Carrboro holds on to win by the final score of 20-14.
That was some finish, and just like we figured, Walter, Keontae Rasheed was the intended receiver. When you're 6'2", 162, and you've got about 3 inches on the man defending you, that's the only place to go with the ball, especially with one play to win the game. And Rasheed actually had the ball, it appeared from here, in his hands. He just couldn't quite haul it in. I believe there was one Wildcat there, and I believe it was Darius Glover, who shielded him from the ball for just a second. So that might have caused him to cough the ball up. But make no mistake, that ball was in Rasheed's hands, and the game was his for the taking. He just couldn't quite haul it in. A thrilling finish here tonight.
Final score again, 20-14. Carrboro with the win improves to 4-3 on the season. The Buccaneers of Bartlett Yancey dropped to 2-5. And it's the first conference game of the year, so in conference, Carrboro now 1-0, and the Buccaneers 0-1. We'll give you some scores from across the area when we come back and wrap up with our final thoughts here from Carrboro High School when we return in just a moment.
If you've been hassling with glasses and contacts for years, why wait any longer? At Carolina Ophthalmology, we've been performing LASIK eye correction here in Chapel Hill for 17 years. At your free consultation with Dr. James Bryan, he will answer your questions and evaluate whether LASIK is right for you. Take our LASIK self-test at carolina2020.com. Call us today, 919-945-EYES. Why wait any longer?
When you think of Harrington Bank, do you think green? No, not that kind of green, sustainability green. At Harrington Bank, we're the first bank in the nation to earn Green Plus certification. And the Chapel Hill Carrboro Chamber of Commerce has just selected us Sustainable Business of the Year. For Harrington Bank, going green is a smart business decision that strengthens our local economy, environment, and community. Stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Hi, I'm David Fitch. My great-grandfather started Fitch Lumber and Hardware back in 1907. Since then, we provide thousands of contractors and homeowners with top-quality building products and exceptional service that's truly second to none. Everything you need to construct, renovate, and repair the home, from the foundation to the roof, we can help you with. And Fitch Lumber and Hardware is right here in downtown Carrboro across from Carmel Mall. 105 years and counting. Here comes Fitch.
I'm Edward Holmes, president of Cruiser's Convenience Marketplace. By now, you've heard about our fountain drinks made with 100% filtered water served at a chilly 34 degrees with our chewy ice. They're guaranteed to taste great and only 79 cents every day. Right now, we're giving you the opportunity to win free fountain drinks for a year. Simply visit our Facebook page and look for the contest icon. Contest runs through September.
Cruiser's, good to go.
Walter Storholt and Jeff Hammond with you here at Carrboro High School, getting ready to wrap up the broadcast tonight. After Carrboro wins 20-14, an exciting finish down the stretch. A last-ditch pass from the 30-yard line by the quarterback Totten for Bartlett Yancey. Goes in and out of the hands of Keontae Rasheed. He almost hauled it in on the goal line and would have easily been able to lean forward for the score, but it wasn't meant to be for Bartlett Yancey tonight. Jeff, an incredible game that we saw here. How about some competition from other areas around the area?
Well, we got a final in from Hillsboro, and the Battle of Hillsboro won by Orange for the second year in a row. The Panthers easily defeat Cedar Ridge by a score of 59-7. So Orange is 7-0.
Wow.
And the Panthers will actually take on Chapel Hill next week in a matchup of those two old rivals that have played in the Pac-6 Conference, the Carolina 6 Conference, and now the Big 8 Conference. We know that another final in tonight was, well, let's see, that's old scores right there. Let's try some new scores because we like new stuff instead of old stuff. We have, let's take a look at some scores people be interested in as well. That's always a trick. How about Riverside beating East Chapel Hill tonight, 42-10?
Good showing for Riverside.
Yeah. We didn't know what to make of David Hackney's team coming into this year. We saw them win in a game that was a thriller, Walter, that you called at the very beginning of the year when they beat Chapel Hill in overtime. Game that came down to the very last play, and Pirates have come out with some big wins, and they got four big wins. Now, Northern Durham picked up its first win of the season tonight. They defeated Person in the 501 rivalry over at Durham County Stadium, 21-14. East will play Northern Durham coming up next week. And some other games going on tonight. Wakefield now trails Wake Forest, and this is a matchup of perhaps the top or among the top two teams in the area when it comes to the 4A ranks. But Wake Forest now has a two-point lead on Wakefield. Now it's a final, and we stand corrected. Wakefield has beaten Wake Forest 32-26. So that means most likely the number one team in the area in regards to the News and Observer and the Fabulous 15 will probably be Orange now, because Wake Forest was the number one team in the Fabulous 15. Could very well be Wake. Orange High will be the new number one team, as they were number two in the ranks. And as long as I've been alive, Walter, that's the first time I can ever say that about Orange.
It's pretty exciting stuff, especially for somebody like you who, you know, hails from Orange
High
School, a former Panther yourself, and very exciting for Orange County most certainly to have a team at that caliber right now. It was Carrboro last year making a lot of news headlines, and now it's Orange this year getting to make a lot of those same headlines.
Walter, tonight, really what won Carrboro this game was the rushing attack. 372 yards. They mounted three lengthy touchdown drives that culminated in big plays. And Kendrick Edwards, 191 yards on 22 carries, two touchdowns. And what a job by Campbell Isom in his first game as the quarterback for the Jaguars. 86 yards rushing on seven carries. Most of those came in the first half, passing the ball. Isom 7 of 14 for 39 yards. Still got some learning to do in that regard, but still a big win for this Carrboro team to end the three-game losing streak, win the conference opener, and they wind up becoming playoff eligible as they go up against Cummings next week.
Absolutely going to be an exciting rest of the football season now that we're in conference play. Jeff Grayley, appreciate it tonight as always.
Well, Walter, this is your final broadcast with us here on high school football for this year as you get ready for your duties for the UNC women's basketball team, and they're getting cranked up real soon.
Time to get ready for late night, and then we'll be having some exhibition games, and then the season will be here before we know it, so I'm going to get prepped for that. But you and Hartford Zirkle will take us through the finish line here on chapelboro.com this year. Looking forward to all the games that you will be following, as well as the featured game of the week that can be heard on not only chapelboro.com, but WCHL as well, with Paul Connell and his team. WCHL and chapelboro.com bringing you high school coverage across Orange County from all angles this season. Excited to be able to do that for you. Hopefully we'll have a couple of teams in the playoffs making some news and rolling through the brackets, and we'll be following them all the way. For Jeff Hamlin, and we want to thank Alex Curley for running the board back at the WCHL studios for us. I am Walter Storholt. Thanks so much for tuning in. Again, our thoughts are with Brian Parker tonight, the Bartlett Yancey player that went down with that significant injury and was taken off on a stretcher and transported in an ambulance. Unfortunately, we did not get an update on his condition. Hopefully, we'll hear something and be able to let you know via chapelboro.com and tomorrow's morning news if we hear any updates from that. Congratulations to the Carrboro Jaguars for their win tonight, again by the final score of 20-14. Have a great night, and we'll talk to you again next week on High School Football on WCHL and chapelboro.com.